Hello, listeners, and welcome to another edition of the 9 Years Podcast Lockdown Show. We're not sure which number of show this is.
4,978.
It does feel like we've had 28 Sundays in a row, as I'm concerned. But anyway, we're here. I'm Kevin Boris. Nick and Stu have the day off, and I'm joined instead by, let's be fair, we know we're the B team, by Chris Draper. Hello, Chris.
I prefer the term reserves.
I thought development squad is what they're called.
Development squad. No, that's George.
Development squad of presenters. So, Chris, where are you today? Because last time you were in the street.
I am at home, having just woken up after a night shift. So, good morning.
So you are on the Sussex coast.
I'm on the Sussex. It was sunny, but now woken up and it's raining. Sussex coast.
Okay. I'm sorry.
In Eastbourne. Yeah.
You're in Eastbourne. George equally is here. George Jones, perennially. You're omnipotent on these shows, George.
It's perennial.
Your hair has got wider since yesterday. But hello. Say hello, George. George, your cue for say hello.
Yes, hello.
There we go. Tough question to start with, but there we go.
He doesn't talk much.
He doesn't. No, it's luck, isn't it? But I'm gonna. The questions will get easy, George. So say your name. It's a tough one, and I'm sorry that we started with such a tough one. Anyway, so we're not sure which show this is, but it's number 20 something. But we are joined today by another member of the playing squad. So basically, thanks to Mark Robinson and to Joe Palmer for allowing the players to be on this ridiculous show. So today we're joined by Mitch Pinnock. Hi, Mitch.
Hello, how are you?
We're okay, considering. We're all right. So we spoke to Mitch off-air briefly. We're not going to get too deep into stuff, because we all know what's going on, and the whole idea of these shows is we don't talk about what's going on in the outside world. We talk about football, however unimportant football is in the wider scheme of things. It's important to us, obviously important to Mitch because it's his job. So I'm going to ask you your first question, Mitch. How are you doing? Are you well? Everybody, your family all okay?
Yeah, we're all doing all right. Just a bit bored, like everyone else.
Yes, I can imagine. Now, we're not asking for your full address. Where are you joining us from?
Dartford. Green Eye.
Dartford. Okay. Thank you for that. It's just nice to picture where people are. Mentally, it's good for us to picture where you are. So, a good friend of mine is the press officer for Ebbsfleet United, and was interested to know, because you're born in Gravesend, right?
Yep.
But you never played for Ebbsfleet United. Was there ever a chance where your paths would have crossed? Because he said, I don't know how he didn't play for us. You've played for a lot of other Kent-based teams. How do you not play for Ebbsfleet?
I think there was a time, but I was I can't remember when it was. I must have been, I think when I not when I was would have been old enough to play in the first team, I think. But apart from that, I don't think I was ever interested.
Oh well, sorry about that. I'm sorry to bring that up.
I think it's an interestingly phrased question. Why did you not play for someone?
No, but I'm just saying that.
Anybody ever been asked that in their life? Why did you play for the Birmingham? I don't know.
But you play for kids tend to play for their local team. Obviously, they have scouting networks all over the place. We had Luke O'Neill on the show on Wednesday from Slough. Now, I'd never heard Luke speak, and I presumed he was from the Midlands because he started his career at Leicester. But his dad moved to
North. Never assume, Kevin. Never assume.
Never assume. I know, but I like to assume. It's quite fun. So, Mitch, you started your career at Arsenal. How did that come about? I mean, obviously you were scouted, but that was a very early age. Are you what? 12 or 13 or something?
I was 7 when I signed for Arsenal. Yeah.
Okay.
I started to be young then.
That's why I turned down Ebbsfleet, I think, because I was at Arsenal.
fair enough. Okay, I think people understand that.
What were your choices?
Ebbsfleet or Arsenal?
I played for my local team. I think I was Fleet Down. I was playing when I was 5 in the under-7s, I think. And then, I don't think he was allowed, but then Arsenal saw me and then they wanted me, and then I was also on. I played for Wimbledon, West Ham, and Charlton, but then I signed for Arsenal instead.
Good choice.
I was
one at the time.
I was there for until I was 15. Nice. Yeah, 15.
So here's a two part question. When you joined us 18 months ago, there was a picture did the rounds on social media of you aged 7 maybe.
Yeah.
In a Wimbledon kit. It was the blue, the old, the, from, I think, 2001 kit with the tiny sponsorship logo.
Yeah.
So were you a Wimbledon fan then?
No, I'm a Chelsea fan.
Oh, never mind.
But you got the kit. How did you get the kit?
So I played for them. Played for Wimbledon.
Yeah, Kev, that was a bit of an obvious question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You played for us.
I thought in those days you had to bring your own kit and wash it like you still have to now. Okay, and I didn't know if it was a...
I had to bring my own socks. That was it.
Yeah, we never had enough socks.
This was when we were in the Premier League and we were making kids bring their own socks. This says a lot.
No, that's... because that was about the time when I was working in the shop and we never had enough socks for kids. That was just a weird thing. I don't know what that was about. We're blank humour.
We haven't fixed that in 20 years. Still the same problem.
You.
Right. So my question is, you were at Arsenal all that length of time. In the time you were there, did those teams you were in produce any household names other than yourself being a household name? Did you produce any household names that went on to play for Arsenal or for other Premier League teams so people get an idea of what sort of era this was?
In my team, only one, well, Isaac Hayden's playing for Newcastle in the Prem.
Yep.
The year below me was Alex Iwobi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But well, I always thought he was brought in, but there you go.
Yeah, the one, yeah, he was there the whole time. I think his uncle was JJ Okocha, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Arsene Wenger watched him and said he's the only player he wanted, but he didn't even ever play back then. He wasn't very good, but...
Or just no comment, that one.
Yeah. Well, he improved, didn't he? That's
fair. Yeah, he obviously saw it, and he obviously did, gone on to do well. So.
He's done right, yeah.
But apart from that, there was no one really from... A few boys in my team playing sort of the level I'm at or a couple in the conference, but... Don't seem to be many others.
I guess a lot of them fall by the wayside because the amount of foreign kids are coming. You look at Chelsea's under-18s team, you've got 7 or 8 foreign kids. There's nothing wrong with that. They're allowed to. But
that happened when we started getting a bit bigger and a bit older. The ones that weren't really big enough, then they brought in loads of big players and they could obviously afford to get them in from wherever they wanted. So
yeah. But that's where you've got... Kid or people 14 or 15 years old, given the choice of would you go to Arsenal and maybe never get in the first team squad, or would you come to us or to Brentford or to Luton or those kind of clubs and go there, and actually by the time you're 17, 18, you're in the first team squad. I mean, that's, you can see it's quite, to me, if you want to play football, it's a simple choice, isn't it? Go for the lower division team and actually play. But as a kid, was that is that a difficult thing to do? Because when they let you go, What did you do then? Was that the kind of thing of, well, that's it? Or did you think, right, I'm gonna keep going and try and get somewhere else?
Yeah, I did. I went on a few trials after, and I think I went Crystal Palace and Tottenham. They both were interested, and then nothing sort of come about it. So then I had Southend and Gillingham that wanted me. So then I just decided I had to pick out of who I wanted to play for then. I think Southend were in the Championship at the time, and I thought it'd be, well, they might have been, yeah, I think they might have been in the Championship. And then I thought it's easier way in to sort of try and get to be a professional footballer than trying to go around all these other teams. So I signed for Southend, and I must have been 16 then.
Right. So what's that, 2010?
Yeah.
God, I feel old now. You were 16 in 2010. Oh, God. I'm sorry. We had Aaron Ramsdell on when was that, yesterday? That was yesterday, wasn't it? It was Thursday. And he was born in 1998. He's younger than my oldest son. I said, my God, I just forget how young you guys are. But
Kevin, I hate to break this to you, Kevin, but we're well old, mate.
Yes, I know. I appreciate, thank you very much for that. I do. I owe,
we are, though.
I was born before the first moon landing. I'm now old. I'm black and white TV.
Oh, yeah, you do. No, if it was a competition, you'd win. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm not trying. I like winning competitions, but I don't want to win the oldest person thing all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So when they let you go then, Mitch, how did they do it? Because my youngest son, he's nearly 19. He's had 3 or 4 friends that have gone through academies. And I won't tell you which clubs. There's actually 4 kids. 2 of them were released really nicely. They'll help you find another club. They do this. They go and see your parents and they tell you. The other 2 were kind of like, well, cheers, guys. Thanks for all your hard work. Off you go. And they were just gone and cut loose. But neither of those still play football. The other 2 went non-league and they still play because they were made to feel worth something. So when Arsenal let you go, how did it How was it for you?
It was pretty tough, to be fair. At first, I didn't really want to carry on, sort of thing. Most of my team back then, I still speak to a few of them, and most of them don't even play anymore either. So, but then it's harder, I suppose. When you're young, it's not really as serious as when you're older. So you can see why some people just, they're playing it for fun, and then the fun gets taken out of it, and there's no point of them playing it, I suppose. But it was tough, but if I knew that that's what I wanted to be as a footballer, so I just had to carry on going.
And fair play to you for sticking with it, because I suppose when you're that age and in the Premier League era, as it were, I can see that when people get released, the temptation is to find and do something else, because there's so many other people you're competing against. So fair play to you sticking at it. And you're about to overtake your record appearances, I think, if you stick with us for another 10 games. Is that right? Something like that?
I don't know, am I?
Yeah, yes. it's something like that. You'll be at the club for the most appearances. So well done.
At least
you picked a good club to stick with.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think Chris's research is right. 10 more games and you've played more games for us than Dover. Do you know what the interesting thing about Joe Piggott? So I'm talking of players that have played non-league games. Did you play with Pigs at Maidstone, Mitch?
No, I didn't. I played against him.
Okay. So this is AFC Wimbledon players who have played non-league football in Kent, right? So here's the list. Joe Piggott has played 91 games for us, which is 43 more than he's played for anybody else. Isn't that extraordinary at 27 years old? There you go. I thought I had that. It's gone. That's killed it, isn't it? Well, thanks for joining.
I thought it was a good fact.
His two loan spells at Southend added together make 40. Anyway, so.
Yeah, that's probably where he's floating around teams trying to get the right one, I suppose. If he's if you're in a conference, most people jump around or.
We were exponents of that. The number of players we got through, I think, in the couple of years you were in the conference. It's quite scary.
Nothing like the Ryman League when we had, I think, we were in the playoffs two seasons in a row, weren't we? And used, I think, something like 70 players across those two seasons. It was incredible.
About 20 goalkeepers in one season alone, wasn't
it? That's very true, yeah.
But then, nobody counted players onto the pitch, so we could have as many as we wanted.
That's true. So, you went to Southend, but you had quite a few loan moves in various parts of Kent. Bromley, I think, was he Bromley, East Thurrock? Because at least those two, there's quite a few on your.
East Thurrock was my first one. I think I must have been 17 then. And that was the first time I played men's football properly. I can't remember. I don't think we were very good there, I don't think.
But what's it like out on loan, though? Because you're now, you're 17 years old, you're at a League One/Championship team. So what's it like being put out on loan then? Because I guess you can take it in two ways. There's one way you can take it, right, they clearly value me, they want me to get game time so I can get better. Or there's the other way of thinking is they don't want me, they just want me, they want me to play somewhere else. So how did you take it?
I took it as if they're doing it to benefit me, sort of thing, because obviously I'm probably at the time not good enough to play week in in the first team. You've never played, you need to really go out and then see what men's football is about, really, I suppose. So yeah, I didn't mind doing it, but as a young kid, I can see why some don't really want to go out and do it, because they just get comfortable sitting in sort of training with the first team all the time. But then I thought, you're never really going to get any better if you're just training all the time. So
do you get the here's the question, because none of us have played professional football. None of us, or other than you, obviously. I mean, you haven't seen me, Chris, or George play. I've never seen George or Chris play. But do you get the choice of loans, or do you just get called in by the manager and saying, we've had an offer for you to go on loan, you're going on loan to... I think you had three loan spells at Tonbridge Angels. So
yeah.
Do you get the choice, or are you told, right, here you go, you're going to Tonbridge?
So if you're not playing, say you wasn't involved or whatever, then you could probably go and speak to the manager and say to him, obviously, I'm not playing here. I want to go out and get some games. And then if you're not playing, then that'd probably help you sort of do that. Or if if the team sees you're not playing, it can go the other way. They could call up the manager and say, "Oh, you're not using him," or whatever. Could we take him on loan? So it can go both ways, really.
Okay. Now, can I? So I was going to give Chris a question. George needs to speak. George looks like he needs to. Do you want to speak, George? Or are you just leaning forward?
I'm just leaning forward. I'm doing research.
For those of you, obviously, you can't see because you're listening to this. We can see each other. I was going to have a question. This is just cropped up because I just checked something to make sure I got something right for asking a question. Now, we've been talking with players about their middle names. I'm sorry, Mitch. So Mitchell's name, I don't know if anyone knows this. Your middle name's Bernard. Now, yeah. I don't know why I expected your middle name to be something like Ulysses or, you know, Hendrix. But it's Bernard. I'm not taking the mickey out of it. How have you got the middle name Bernard?
Because, both my granddads were called Bernard and both my nans were called Joan. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I took Bernard from that.
Yeah, not Joan, obviously. Could have gone with John, I suppose.
Rather Joan, I think, to be fair.
That could have been...
wrong with Bernard. One of mine's Gregory.
Andrew and John, yeah. And Juan, wouldn't it? But, so you, but your grandparents had both of the same set of names. That is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite weird.
Well, there you go. Sorry, I'd only just seen that. I just didn't expect it. I don't know. I'm not finding it funny.
Yeah, I don't think anyone normally really expects Bernard.
No, it's a good one. A friend of mine has the middle name Barty. Barty, and he's got no idea why. His parents just liked it. They must have been hammered when they registered his name. But he's called, his middle name's Barty, which doesn't suit him much to him.
Everyone was in the early 1900s, Kevin.
That's a bit hard.
You asked for that one, dude.
I walked into that.
You did?
As a forearm smash to the face. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So how did this... had that career in non-league football. You had Maidstone, you did well at Dover. How did the Wimbledon move come about? And then we always ask this question to people. And I guess the answer to this question, you know, when players join us, they get apparently told the story and they get shown DVDs and they get told about how the club works and how it's different. Did you get that as well? Or did you know already, having played for us?
I knew most of it already. But then, obviously, Bassey, he was there when I signed. He was telling me a bit more. And then either at the beginning of pre-season, either comes in and does a speech on it for all the players that have joined, the new ones. So he comes in and speaks about it as well. But yeah, I knew about it anyway.
So let's say we don't know what's going to happen in football. We get a new influx of signings in whenever this close season will happen for the start of next season. Now you've been here 2 years. Are you now one of the players that kind of will talk to the new players and tell them the story? Because it maybe sounds better coming from their teammates rather than from a club official who they don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a few boys in our team that would do that anyway. Well, most of us know, well, all of us that there know what's gone on. Some obviously a lot more, obviously, Will knowing everything. He's been there for years, so obviously he does as well. But I think most of us will tell the other boys, really, that come in, the new ones, everything about it. So that'd be good.
Nice. George, doing your research. What are you doing research on? Are you looking up my middle name on Wikipedia? It's not there. I don't have a
page. No, sadly not. I was just cross-checking to make sure I don't get a game wrong later on.
Yes. I don't know, Mitch, if you listen to any other episodes, we have a couple of games that we do. And George has made mistakes in the last two, which would have been crucial, crucial to the success of the game. But let's do a game now. Are you ready for the first game, yeah. George? Are you ready? So, I'll explain then, George, because you really have made a mess of this. So, Mitchell, this is a game called Paul Os Who. You can get, so, basically, what you get is you have to guess the name or the identity. Is this someone he's played with for us?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the identity is an AFC Wimbledon player that you have played with.
Yep.
And you get three rounds of clues. The first round is five players that he has played with, okay? If you don't get it in that first round, the second round is two managers he's played for. The third one is a bit of a giveaway. Now, the last three times we've done this, the players have got it right first time. Aaron Ramsdale, on Thursday, he got the answer right in less than 4 seconds.
And I don't think I'm going to be very good at this, but we'll give it a go.
You kind of need to have known who your teammates have played for in the past, if George has got his research correct. Now, George, have you, considering you thought Chris Wilder had managed somebody that he hadn't, no, you thought Barry Fuller had played for Oxford the other day under Chris Wilder when he hadn't? So are you absolutely sure that you're not selling Mitch a kipper here and this is, he's never going to get it right?
Yes, I'm sure I've got this right now.
Okay, George, take it away with the game Paul Osu.
Okay, so the first round of clues is the five players this player has played with, and the five players are Paddy Madden, Kevin Phillips, Jack Grealish, Nathan Ake, and Tom Elliott.
Oh.
Do you say Kevin Phillips?
Yeah, so Paddy Madden, Kevin Phillips, Jack Grealish, Nathan Ake, and Tom Elliott.
That's a tough one. Rod?
No, not Rod McDonald.
How many guesses do I get?
No, that was it. That was it. You're wrong.
One more guess and then Chris and I have a go. You have one more guess, Mitch.
JJ?
No, not Jake Jervis.
Ah, that was my one. Okay. So he's played with Kevin Phillips.
Yeah, he must be an older player then.
He must be an older player. He must be over 30 because Kevin Phillips is 40.
Yeah, Kevin Phillips Hansen? Still playing in his 50s?
No, not James Hansen.
Oh, you've gone for James Hansen. Oh, so you're going to want a guess from me.
Jack Grealish is...
Yeah, he's young, so he must have played in his team.
But he's been on loan? Oh, he's
played with him, hasn't he?
Go on, Chris, have your go and I'll have mine.
Well, bloody hell, I don't know.
He's played for Notts County with Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
That's
that connection.
Is someone in the current squad, George?
Yes. Oh. Yes, someone in the current squad.
Sorry, I'm never sure of the rules. Luke O'Neill, I don't know.
No, it's not Luke O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
Because the answer's normally Callum Riley, and it's not this time, is it?
No.
Okay.
He's played for Notts County. Who's played for Notts County?
That's what I'm trying to think of. It's not one of the defenders, is it?
Yeah. Are we having another question or another?
Do you want the managerial?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, we are just sitting there, kind of waiting for it, George. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, come on, George.
So these are the two managers he has played under.
Yes,
Steve Clark and Sean Derry.
Oh. Ooh. I think I've got it.
Well, tell your doctor.
Mitch, do you want to have a guess, Mitch, or do you want me to jump in?
I think it might
be Kwesi.
It is. Yeah. It's Kwesi Appiah.
I did think that last go, but I didn't want to get another one wrong.
I like it. So you just be like us every week. Don't worry about it.
Cambridge. Sean Derry at Cambridge.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know he played for Notts County.
Yeah, no, he played six games on loan there the same year Jack Grealish.
Oh, that's tenuous. Bloody hell.
No, I didn't know that. He told me before that. I should have known that.
Good one, George. Well done. That was much better.
Stumped.
And factually correct, which is always an advantage, isn't it? I think. I think always an advantage to get your facts right, George. So, how are you keeping fit then, Mitch? And I know we weren't going to talk about it too much, but I know we've been speaking to other players and you've all got a general fitness regime to keep to, and some players have got their own things. So what are you doing with your days currently?
Well, we on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have a Zoom chat like this with Chris, the fitness coach. We've been with him for about 45 minutes. And then we get sent our plans to keep fit, so running we have to do and that. So apart from that, not a lot.
Just Netflix, basically.
Yeah.
Netflix box sets.
Working on my cooking skills.
Has that come along well?
I'm all right on the barbecue, that's about it.
Yeah. Do you have a garden in which to barbecue in?
Yeah.
Ah. That's lucky. That'd be a bit tough, wouldn't it? So growing up, so you were a Chelsea fan as a kid then. Who was your who was your idol as a footballer? I'm not saying you had posters. Most of us had posters on the wall. Obviously, Nick Draper has Alexa Bliss on his wall, even at his age. But who did you have posters up on in your bedroom as a kid? Footballers particularly. You can can be anybody else. You know.
Mine was Zola.
Ah.
He was my favourite player.
As sad, I mean, it pains me to say it, but he was a very good player. That Chelsea team were very good, even though it slightly sticks in my craw a little bit.
Well, that 97 team that beat us in the FA Cup semi-final.
We don't talk about that anymore.
I know, but Zola's...
You're saying about not being bitter about things, Kevin.
No, Zola's performance in that game was the best performance I've ever seen by any player against any team. Well, I've been going to football 42 years. That's the best individual display I've ever seen.
Yeah, he did very well.
You end up thinking, well, I should hate this and I should really not want to see this, but I actually wanted him to get the ball. when it was 2-0, I thought, well, we've not had a kick. And it was just a pleasure to be there and actually watch that guy play football, even though it was against my team where he was hammering us. So it could have been that Chelsea Middlesbrough. It should have been Wimbledon Chesterfield in the final, which would have been a bizarre thing to do. So I asked a few people, knowing that you were going to be on today, ask you a question. The one that props up more often than not was, what do you think your best position is? Because you've played quite a few. You've played quite across the midfield. You've played behind the forwards. You've played as a forward. Where do you see yourself fitting into the team? Well, as far as we were concerned, when you signed, you were, I used this lovely phrase, ostensibly a winger. And then we don't play with wingers. So where do you see yourself?
I think my best position's right midfield, cutting in inside, or left midfield. But I prefer playing on the right to the left, even though I'm left-footed.
Okay.
But obviously, we don't play with wingers, so
no.
That's out the window. But I think when Gaffer come in and he played me number 10, I think I like playing in the 10 position. And I think that I could be effective in that position. But then it sort of went to a 3 in midfield instead of a 2 and a 1. So I don't think centre midfield really. I don't know, actually. Don't mind playing centre midfield. I like playing anywhere, to be fair. But being on the wing would be my best position. But it's not available.
No, because we were saying, friends of mine that I stand with, that Joe Piggott's form last season was superb when he was playing alongside James Hansen. Although Pig is tall, he doesn't play, in my opinion, he doesn't play like a tall player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But James Hansen is 6'4", whatever he is, he's a target man.
Unit.
You play with a target man. When you got moved further forward, just before Christmas, I think it was, you went slightly further forward. I was thinking maybe that's where Joe's going to start picking up some goals from flick-ons and you being the target man. Not to say it didn't work out, but that's not a position you ended up playing. Was that something that was discussed, that maybe you would be the target man for Joe and actually help him get some more goals? Because he went like 16 games without a goal.
Yeah. No, I think he's this season he's been having to be the target man, which obviously is not his games getting in there, playing off someone and finishing. But I think he's had to change his games. So that's why he hasn't really scored as many goals. But I think he's been... Obviously, he was on fire last season, but this season, I thought he's been brilliant, the way he's had to change his way. And I think he has been doing well as a sort of a target man. I think I wouldn't be the sort of target man if there was needed one to go up with him. So I think it was more of a fact of me running in behind, sort of trying to spread the pitch a bit more than be a target man, I suppose.
Yeah, so, okay, we're going to talk about... Thank you for that. It was a good question from a couple of friends of mine who decided to ask that question for me. So where do you see... I know you're not able to comment and there's probably stuff going on. As we speak in various football leagues, deciding what's going on, what looks like the conference sides or the National League sides are being given a two-tiered vote. So they're going to get asked, do you want the season to continue or do you want to stop it? And then if they vote on stop it, there's going to be a second question of how do you want to go ahead now you stopped it? So obviously you've still got friends and contacts in non-league. How do you see that panning out? Because, I mean, obviously the premiership's going to have to finish because there's £1 billion somewhere that needs to be
yeah.
out. But National League, the money's kind of filtering down. But a lot of clubs are saying they can't afford to play, and that, when they can't afford not to play, it's a really difficult position. Where do you stand on that as a football fan rather than a current one player?
Yeah, obviously it's a tough one because I don't know, they've got, if they do stop it, then they've got to come up with a solution of what's going to happen. So say the teams that were top of the league or teams that are at the bottom. So they'd have to have a reasonable way if they did stop it. But I don't know really. I think if they did stop it, I think they should. There's a few things that they could do. I don't think they could relegate anyone because obviously, like us last season, when we were down there, about this time, if it stopped, we would have been not close. So the teams that are down there are going to obviously have a saying that, well, we can obviously pick points up. It's happened before. So I don't think they could relegate anyone. I reckon they should just promote the teams below them and have more teams in the league. I think that would be a fair sort of way.
Yeah, now one of the things, again, my friend from Ebbsfleet was saying, if they do it on points per game, Ebbsfleet would get relegated on the strength of 0.02 points, which is an extraordinary thing. You can't stay up. If you play the game, you can't stay up by 0.02 points. Ridiculous. One of the things they were saying were, obviously, the teams who were promoted or who would finish in the promotion places and the playoff places, and that they want promotion. The teams who finish in the relegation places don't want relegation. So don't ask those opinions. Ask the opinions of the middle 13 teams or 12 teams that aren't in the promotion or the relegation, what they think should happen. Is that fair? Because they've got nothing to win or lose. If you're talking to somebody who's 11th, then it's going to be fair.
I think that is. I think because most of them teams, they're going to be football people, so they're not just going to try and... They've got nothing to lose, really, have they? They weren't in the positions, really. So
it's tough. Yeah. None of us know either.
One of the one of the current things under consideration apparently is that the rest of the season will be played behind closed doors. And coming out today is, I think, Rick Parry saying all the games will be streamed online. As someone who obviously plays in front regularly about 3,000, 4,000 people, how do you think that would pan out, playing in front of empty stands all the time?
Yeah, I think it would be, well, it could be harder, especially for the bigger teams. I think it would be a bit harder for them to sort of deal with it because they're normally, what, say, like Sunderland's and all them sort of teams. It'd be a big difference to them where they've got such a massive thing behind them. But I think it'd be hard for any team, to be fair, because when your fans are cheering you on, it does give you that extra boost. So it's just no team's going to have it, even if you're home or away. So it'll be harder, but it's going to be something that you're going to have to adapt to pretty quick.
Let's just hope it can get done, I suppose.
Well, you think about, we've been waiting for years for to move into our new ground. And maybe if next season, whenever that starts, that might have to start behind closed doors for the first few games. That'll be a very bizarre thing. You move into new ground and you play empty. Now, you visited the ground as one of the players that was given a sort of a tour, but you've kind of worked in that construction industry as well. Were you looking at it as a fan and a player and as someone who's actually built things? Were you kind of looking at it in a different way?
Yeah, to be fair. It did look good, though, I must say that. So I was really impressed with it. I think all the boys that went there were surprised how nice it actually is going to pan out, sort of thing. So it did look really good.
But when you got there, did you just kind of think, it just kind of hit you how big that stand is for a start? And it's for us, we visited it as we just happened to walk past it. Couldn't walk, get very close. But it just brings it all home that we've had this in our head now since 1991, or I have anyway, of thinking, Kings Meadow was our stadium, but it's not in Wimbledon. They never kind of thought of it as our own ground, even though it was. This for us is a huge, as a fan, it's a huge thing. So as a player, you can sense that as well.
Yeah. When we were standing there, even we went to the top and it just looked like a proper stadium. Like, so it's going to be, you can imagine walking out first game there, it's going to be unreal.
Excellent. Because I thought of that. You've said you've had a job. You've done normal. We understand
normal people.
Footballers are normal people who do an extraordinary thing for a living because we all would love to have done it. But you're one of the few players that's had a job. You've had to get up in the morning and go to work like we all do. Does that give you a different perspective on being a footballer?
Yeah, it does. To be fair, I think. Well, I was at Maidstone, I think, and we was training at night. I think two nights a week. So yeah. All day I was doing nothing, and then I had to go and train at night. So I thought I need to do something really. And then I know a few of the older pros. They all the older players there, even they had jobs. So I spoke to one of them, and he said they'd get. Try and sort something out for me. So, and then after that, I was working. Like the first job I had, I absolutely hated it. I had to get up at, I think, half four one day, and I was getting up at 5-6 o'clock to go and do screeding. You know, not screeding, the
flooring. Floor stuff.
Yeah, and I was having to shovel sand all day into this pump, and then I'd be knackered and I'd go home and have about a couple of hours sleep and then get up and go training. And I used to hate doing that, so I stopped doing that and did dry lining instead. And then I did that for about three, four years, I think, as long as playing at the same time.
Right. So,
some days I'd have work and then I'd have a game at night. So it was when I was in the conference. And that was a bit tougher because the standards obviously are a bit better than conference staff and that.
Well, I was going to ask, so if you've done work in the morning and then say you're playing for Maidstone and you've got Grimsby away on a Tuesday night, you've done half a day's work, physical work already by the time you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But my last job, my boss was actually, he was an absolute fan. So where I was playing for Dover, he sort of liked it. So say I had a game away or whatever, he wouldn't mind me just taking half a day or something or a day off. He was all right with that. But I suppose I was lucky that he was a football sort of fan, otherwise it might not have worked out like that.
That is pretty lucky. But, okay, thanks for that. I've got one more question before we give you another quiz. This quiz has just come out of the walls here. So you play for England C. How do you find out about being picked for England? Obviously, none of us have been picked for England at anything. George, have you been picked for Wales at anything?
No, surprisingly.
You're not?
No, surprisingly not.
Okay, so yeah, how do you find out? Do you get a phone call or a letter or email in modern terms? How do you find out?
Can't really remember what happened. I think they just put us, it was like, they sent me an email, I think, and it was like a squad of players, but it didn't tell you who was going or not. So you was on the list, but it didn't mean that you would definitely be playing. And then it got a bit further down the line, and then they just put the team, the squad up, and I was in it. And then I think they might have called me, I think, as well. But yeah.
Did you play?
And it was good to obviously do that. I didn't think that. Well, I was playing good at the time, I suppose, but I didn't think that I would get picked to go there, especially I was a winger then as well, and they played me centre midfield as well.
Who did you play against?
Wales. I actually played against Roscoe.
Did you?
At random.
Yeah.
cracky little stat that.
Yeah, I got a photo somewhere of me and him. So I only found it after he said he played for him, and he said he played against me. So I found it. So that was funny.
Could we at some point see that photo? Could you email it to one of us? We'd like to have that on the show.
Quite amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. You scan it or something. Thank you very much. Lovely. Well, you can go in a minute. Thank you very much. So we do have... Have we got one more game or two? We've only got one. We're not doing Stuart's Facts game, are we? No,
we're not doing that today.
So this game is a much simpler one. This is an either or yes or no game. I will say, give you two options and you've got to choose one, or it's a yes or no. Are you ready for this, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Mushy peas, yes or no?
No.
Sheep or goats?
Sheep.
Did Carol Baskin kill her husband, yes or no?
No, but I haven't seen that.
No.
Okay, not that. That's fine. No, I mean, okay. Phil Mitchell or David Mitchell?
Phil Mitchell.
Mitchell Pritchett from the Modern Family or Mitch Mitchell, the Jimi Hendrix bass player?
I'll go Mitch Mitchell.
He's a good man.
Barbados with Kwesi Appiah, a week in Barbados with Kwesi Appiah, or a week in Bexhill-on-Sea with Kylie Jenner?
Kylie Jenner.
Yeah. VAR, yes or no?
No.
Luton or Watford?
Watford.
Good job, Nick's not here. Should we sack George, yes or no?
No.
That's seven in a row, George.
That's the first no, isn't
that,
it?
That's seven no's in a row, Chris.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've lost count.
We've not had a sack George for ages.
Well, at least it's yesterday.
No. So, Mitch, when you're making tea, do you put the bag in the cup first or the milk in the cup first?
I've never drank tea in my life, but if I was making someone one, I would put the bag in the cup first.
Correct. He's been prepped for this. He's been prepped for this, you know. That,
the only player in the history of the podcast that said milk first was James Shea.
Yeah, I was never going to do this.
Who then was so embarrassed by his answer when he saw Nick and Stu afterwards, after he saw the reaction to that, he asked, can I change my answer and re-record it, please? But that was quite nice. I like that.
And we said no, because we're horrible people.
That's how they left it in. Anyway, so, do you have any questions from anybody else? George? Or Chris or social media, do we have any questions?
Rather unfortunately, the audio at my end sounds like something out of the Matrix.
Your head, Mitch.
Yeah, I've lost you there.
Yeah, I think
Kevin, you ran out for a second there.
You remember the Matrix, when they go into the Matrix? It sounded a little bit like that.
I'm sorry.
He's been absorbed by the Matrix. He's Mr. Smith now.
Never seen it.
Oh, another one. What is going on?
I've never seen
podcast?
The Matrix. So...
Stan
nothing, I've never seen the Matrix.
Never seen the Matrix. So, Mitch, what the hell is going on?
Behind your
what
head,
what else
Mitch?
Are you doing with your lockdown, people?
There's a Pinnock shirt. What is that shirt behind your head, number 34?
That was my debut for Southend.
It's a Southend shirt. Have you got a Wimbledon shirt in a frame in your room as well?
I've got one. I just need to get it framed. I've got the frame here. I did that one myself. So,
oh nice.
But I'm gonna I need to. I've got an Andy Carroll one from when we beat him in the FA Cup.
You got a shirt, did you?
Oh, good score. Yeah.
So, and I think I've got a Snodgrass one. I think from the first when we played him in the Carib.
Whatever League Cup name it was this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
the next to go in the frames.
Nice. Frame your own shirts. I like that. It's proper League One stuff, isn't it? Because if it's like Kevin De Bruyne, who actually has someone in every day to cook his lunch and his dinner, and here we've got one of our players framing their own shirts. This is football, isn't it?
And Premier League players won't take 25% off their wages. Well, that just about says it all.
But they've not got up and done screeding on floors, have they? They just get somebody else to do it. Anyway, Mitch, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Hopefully we'll see you back in action either through screens or actually in person sometime soon. But take care of yourself, stay well, and we'll catch you next season. Thanks very much.
Cheers, okay, Mitch.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you. Well, there you go. Mitch Pillock, everyone. That was good. Enjoyed
what a
that.
Lovely chat.
Yes. I mean, I think that was good. I enjoyed that. That was a nice insight into the life of a professional footballer who's not always been a professional. Most of the other people we speak to have only ever been footballers. There was a great interview with Ed Miliband when he was still... it was Russell Brand who interviewed Ed Miliband, Labour leader.
Say, is that an oxymoron saying that a good interview and Ed Miliband in the same sentence?
And Russell Brand said, what jobs have you actually had then, Ed? He said, oh, I was a political researcher. And he said, no, when not outside of politics, what have you done
proper
other
jobs
than politics? He said, well, I've been a political researcher. No, other than that, I was political editor for my newsletter from my university. Okay, so other than those things, what have you done? He'd done nothing. He'd only been in politics, and yet he thought he had two jobs outside of politics. But I just thought, it's not right. Anyway, so random news stories. Random. No, but I just think it's important. Random news stories. We do have news stories that we're looking at things other than football. Although George, strangely, his news story is going to be football, and so's mine. But so we'll start with Chris. What is your random?
Oh, news? No. Let's get the football ones out of the way.
You sure?
Yes.
George, what is your random football-related news story of the day?
So my random news story will be, well, as I'm sure everyone will be surprised, is talking about the EFL statement that came out today, which is Friday, for those of you listening later. But it's talking about how matches will be probably played behind closed doors. We touched on it earlier in the show. But it basically said, it seems like the EFL are still obsessing on the idea of finishing this season rather than avoiding it and getting ready to make sure we start next season as close to on time as possible.
Yes, but starting next season also behind closed doors then, surely?
You'd think that, but they haven't actually said that. All they've said is this season will probably be finished behind closed doors.
Where? At each team's home game? So do we play the games in the last nine games in the order we would have played them?
Yeah, you'd assume that's going to be the case, because obviously
that's,
I know in the Premier
that's what
League,
I'm hearing, yeah, they will literally just restart it, and then so it, from the day everything was shut down, yeah. The next set of fixtures would be the next set of fixtures. I know it sounds a bit obvious to say it like that, but yes, that would be what happens.
But played at weekends or during the week, or they can, because they've got to collapse them all into a much shorter space of time.
I think the problem they're going to have is obviously the movement of the players around the country and all sorts of things. It's gonna be a bit of a logistical nightmare, but you'd like to think people were working on it as we're going along.
I think they said to us that they wanted to do it in 52 days.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Jeez.
Okay.
So you're going to be busy then for about a month off.
And then I think it was going to stop for 3 weeks maybe and then carry on to the next one.
Mm. Okay. Good.
But it will be. Yeah. I don't know. Someone's got to come up with an idea, I suppose.
Is that what they generally call the Liverpool experience? You're going to end up playing about 705 games in a season.
Yeah, it will be, won't it?
Yeah, something like that. Carlton Bennett. You're going to be earning your money next season. No mistake.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one, story. So my story is, straight for the first time in doing this, a football story. So Norman Hunter, the former Leeds and England defender, has died today, aged 76, of the coronavirus. And so that's the second member of England's World Cup winning squad from 66 who's died in the last couple of weeks, although Peter Binney didn't die of the virus. I saw Norman Hunter play against Wimbledon at Plough Lane in the 79-80 season for Barnsley. I think I saw Alan Ball play against us for Southampton the season before in the FA Cup, and we lost 2-0. So I think I've only seen two World Cup winning players. I played with Martin Peters at Wimbledon in a charity game. But I won't talk about that. But I did, though. He's very good. he's fantastic, actually. So Norman Hunter, rest in peace. As he was one of those players that he would never have made it now because he was just horrifically violent as a player and would get you'd get the ball and both your legs and your ankles and treading the way past. But what a player.
But when he used to do that to opposition players, they'd just get back up in those days.
They would just get back up and then have a go and then he'd threaten them. And that's proper football. Him and Francis Lee had one of the best fights of all time. They both got sent off.
Have you seen that footage?
And they fought on their way off as well, on their way off from the pitch. That's fantastic. Anyway, so Chris, what is your, I'm guessing, non-football related story?
Oh, I've got to bring a bit of levity to it. A chap in Australia, I know it's a bit out of the UK, obviously. He just had a new baby just before the lockdown and unfortunately then lost his job during the lockdown, all a bit desperate. But happy ending. He's won $2.5 million on the Australian lottery, so he's loving life now. So, you know, a bit of positivity. You never know. It could be you.
That's very positive. I like that. That's cracker. Yeah. Thanks for that. Now, as George has given the game away, because we hadn't mentioned when this has been recorded. It has been recorded on Friday. You'll listen to it on Monday. Or maybe you are. Maybe listen to it in April 2027. But hey, so
that's not likely, isn't it? Let's be honest.
I'd forgotten what day it was, and I've got. So we're not now doing is things to do during the lockdown. This is going out on Monday, so I had three things prepared to do for the weekend. Of course, it isn't the weekend. You've had the weekend because it is now technically in your heads Monday. So George, what is the thing you are recommending for people to do on this, the Monday, 20th of April, in the evening? Is it, I'm going to guess, football-related, George?
Weirdly enough, yes, it is.
Oh, my God. News.
What is it, George?
So, on tonight, Monday night at 9 p.m. on BT Sport 2.
That's tonight.
That's tonight. Monday's tonight, yeah. Yeah.
They are re-showing the Crazy Gang documentary.
Again?
Yes. So that's 9 p.m. BT Sport 2.
I mean, who hasn't seen that? What Wimbledon fan has not seen that documentary?
I think we've all seen it at least once.
I think I've seen it twice. Chris, what, considering it is Monday the 20th of April 2020, what are you doing, Chris, today?
Well, tomorrow I'm going back to work because, unfortunately, as one of those fabled key workers, I don't get... Yeah, I don't have a choice. But so obviously, no one else can do that at this point. But if I was to do anything, Mitch, please watch The Tiger King because it's just so much fun.
Really good, yeah?
It's the most bizarre thing you'll ever watch in your life. And you'll just think, all of a sudden, everything is so much better knowing that you don't own big cats and you haven't killed your wife or husband, for that matter.
Yeah, I've seen it. All my mates are going on about it. So
it's just bizarre. You'll binge it. You'll binge it. But if anybody listening hasn't watched it, then I certainly suggest if you want a bit of escapism to alleviate the tedium, then definitely The Tiger King is the way forward.
Extraordinary. No. I've not seen it either. I just,
you should, Kevin.
No, there's certain things I've not seen. Like I said, I didn't see Star Wars till I was 50. There's good reason for that. And I'm just not interested in that kind of stuff. But this documentary is about a bloke who runs a zoo.
He doesn't just run a zoo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh no! He basically scoops all the sort of people who have been through the system, shall we say, to care for these big cats, and he's got like last count some ridiculous amount of tigers, ligers, lions. But it then goes into a whole thing where he's at a war with this other woman who owns a rescue centre, who may or may not have fed her husband to another tiger.
That is the aforementioned
Carol Baskin.
No one likes her, do they?
No one is a fan of her, and you'll see why. She is creepy. She goes around on a bike like that thing out of the Saw films. It's very weird.
Wow.
No, it's a definite recommend just for the banality of it all.
Mm. Well, maybe I will. No. What channel is it? What channel?
No, it's a Netflix job.
Netflix.
It's a bingy job. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my thing, as I have been doing, I've been. My thing to do is digging out records I've not played for a long time. So my album of today, to choose today, is from 2002 by a Canadian band called The Constantines. The album's called Shine a Light. It's a lovely bit of... It's Canadian kind of indie punk kind of stuff. Very shouty, very loud, very aggressive stuff. I'm not a runner, as people can see. Well, who do you know me? No, I'm not a runner. If I was going to be running around the streets, I would be running to that album. It's that kind of record. It's an aggressive, you'd run fast.
A good recommend.
I think so. That's my thing. Because I did have three, forgetting that today was Monday. Anyway. So, George, Mitch is still with us. Thanks for staying with us, Mitch. You can join in here. This is another fantastic game called the Birthdays Game, in which we guess how old celebrities are. And then not only celebrities, Daily Mirror readers who we've never heard of. I'm on a roll here. I've got four of the last six exactly right, and I don't know how I've done that. It's just pure luck. It's entirely lucky. One of them I've never even heard of them. I got it right. George, do you have some birthdays of famous people for us to guess?
Yes, I do.
Good. So, have you heard of them?
Yes.
Oh, Christ. Right, come on, Chris. Come on then, let's have a go. We all need to guess one each. So, George, start the game, please.
Okay, so the first celebrity sort of birthday today is Victoria Beckham.
Victoria Beckham?
Yeah, so how old is Victoria Beckham?
Who's guessing?
Anyone who
Chris?
Wants to...
Chris?
You want me to have a guess?
Yeah.
Oh, God, so now I'm going to do an educated guess, because if she was...
Chris, we're all guessing.
Yeah,
we're all guessing.
She's about... 40, because she was when she did Spice Girls, she was about 4 years older than me. So what, 46?
Okay,
Mitch,
I'm going 44.
I'll go in the middle, 45.
Oh. But the price is right, this.
Chris has got it right. She is 46.
Of course
46.
He has. Amazing.
Bit of an unfair advantage he had there, though. But,
well, because I'm the same age as her.
Yeah.
That doesn't make it an unfair advantage, does it? That's good.
Okay.
Look, don't get jealous, George. Just do the next one.
Okay, so the second celebrity birthday is Sean Bean.
Sean Bourne. Okay.
Is he still alive? Because he keeps getting killed in everything he's in.
You'll never take me alive, Scott. Oh, you have.
Oh, then you did.
Oh, sir, fair enough. Oh, you got me. I've killed me. Sean Bean, I reckon he's... I'm going to say Sean Bean is 54. Chris?
I think he's a bit older. 59?
Mitch?
57.
Well, somehow Chris is closest.
Somehow,
he is 61.
Is he really?
Good Lord. And still going, even though he keeps getting killed.
61. Do we have more celebrities? Because the Mirror Readers is such a potluck. Who else we got?
Yeah, we have one more celebrity and a former player.
Righto.
So the celebrity is tennis player Job Wilfred Tsonga. Mitch, would you like to go first?
35. Chris?
I'm going 31.
31. Okay, Chris?
33, nice in the middle.
Okay, well, Kevin has got it spot on. He is 35.
Nice, you done. 2-1.
Nice.
Okay. So the final sort of half celebrity one is former AFC Wimbledon striker and kind of celebrity Charlie Sheringham. Son of Teddy.
Because he's got a long surname of someone who might have played.
He's the son of a celebrity.
Charlie Sheringham. I think he's 34.
I'm going to go younger. I'm going to go 30. Chris?
Well, I guess I'll go in the middle again. 32.
And Chris has got it spot on. Oh, how's 32. That?
The Price is Right is the way. I should have been on that show.
Should have done.
go with the middle value, normally work.
And finally, the Nick's favourite feature of the whole show, it's the Mirror Reader.
Yeah. This Mirror Reader, we.
Today it's Lillian Allen.
Lillian Allen, not Lily Allen.
Lillian.
Not Lillian. Lillian.
No. Oh. Go on then, Kev, you go first.
One hundred.
Bloody hell.
Anybody else?
Yeah, yep. I'll go for 62.
Mitch, we don't know who this person is.
73 and a half.
Half year. If that's right, that's great. Go on.
Lockdown is really stressing everybody out. We're doing half birthdays.
Okay, so Kevin is closest. She is in fact 98.
Nicely done. Had to be old, didn't it?
Yeah. It just sounds like an old person's name, doesn't it? Sorry.
It does.
If you're called Lillian.
Unless you're French and a footballer, and then you'd be insulted by that comment.
Lillian Thuram. But even his kid plays football, so I mean, everyone's old now. George, that was fascinating. Thank you for that. And look at that time. Exactly on time. We've done an entire hour to the minute. Well, that's fantastic. Now, Wednesday is the next show you will hear us, and we have with us Mr. Vaughan Ryan. Now, Chris, did you ever see Vaughan play for the club?
Sadly, no. I just missed him by about a year, I think.
I did. I saw pretty much every game he played. I went home and away in those days. I still do.
Did you go Neighbours as well?
I did do Neighbours, yes.
I'm here all week.
You got me on the Australian soaps joke.
Australian soap operas, yeah, I know, sorry.
Because Vaughan did actually score 2 goals in one game for us against Luton in 1991, August 91. I thought September 91. It was early September 91, one of our first few games at Selhurst Park.
Yeah.
3-0 win against Luton Town. Sorry, Nick. And Vaughan Ryan did score two, so I'm sure he'll bring that up. But in the meantime, hope you've had a good weekend, because it is clearly Monday when we're recording this. So, George, thank you again for making our lives so much better.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you for keeping us safe.
You're very welcome. Not that I do it very much or well, but yeah, thanks.
No, but you've done a good job. And Mitch, thank you very much for keeping us entertained throughout the season.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
So, thanks for listening, and you will hear from us again on Wednesday with Vaughan Ryan. Thanks.